I had a car tested with the emissions before I tried it, and I was, you know, it was putting out like over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and those of you who know Dr. Cuddy know that he's worked in the Department of Education during the Reagan years. He's taught at the university level. He certainly is one of the great researchers we have, and a constant source of information that helps me better to understand what's going on and relay that information to you. And of course, he's testified before Congress, and you can get his articles, and if you don't have them all cataloged, you should get them. They're available at newswithviews.com. That's www.newswithviews.com. If you click on that site, newswithviews.com, and you'll see over in the far left a list of authors, Dr. Cuddy. You click on that. Well, you can pick up all of the articles he's written there and pull them down and read them through. A wonderful wealth of information. But this morning we're going to be talking about, is that Dialectics Part 2?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you pick up the story?
Okay. I had Dialectic Part 1. I believe I talked with this audience about several weeks ago. And what happened was we went to our feudal future and didn't really have time to cover the Dialectic Part 2, which is just as important, really, as the Dialectic Part 1. In Part 1, your listeners would recall that I referred to Cecil Rhodes' plan, I've mentioned many times before, to, quote, take the government of the whole world with his secret society, the Society of the Elect. And to give several examples through this to refresh your listeners' memories about what the dialectic is, I begin this article by referring to Rhodes' mentor, John Ruskin, who taught at Oxford University and has a swastika on his grave. I put an actual picture of that in my book, The Globalist. And, for example, Ruskin would say on the one hand, quote, I am a Tory, a conservative English party, of the old school, and, quote, I am myself a communist of the old school, reddest of the red, end quote, the two extremes. The dialectic being a thesis on one hand, the opposite antithesis, and then a synthesis in the middle. Rhodes' people networked dialectically with both Skull and Bones. For the most part, they're conservative. I mean, John Kerry's liberal and some others are as well. But Skull and Bones, generally conservative types, as well as they network with the Fabian Socialists, who are obviously liberals. When I was a young fellow, I was in touch with a number of world notables, Eleanor Roosevelt and some others. And the particular relevance here is I was in touch with Arnold Toynbee, who was a critical player in Cecil Rhodes' plan to take the government of the whole world. And I've quoted before where Toynbee in 1931 in the Royal Institute of International Affairs journal actually said that if they catch on to us, we'll lie with our lips about that which we were trying to accomplish with all our might. And that's basically an end to national sovereignty. And I had been in touch with him. He was part of the what was called the Association of Helpers that Cecil Rhodes had, and Dr. Stan has a list of those people from the various countries, from Canada and so on. Toynbee's from England, obviously. And the reason I'm mentioning that is from 1964, when I was a young fellow, right after I had received this correspondence to and from Toynbee, I attended NC State University where a fellow named Allard Lowenstein was teaching. And I remember seeing him walking across the the open spaces there and going to lectures and so forth. And in part one of the series on the dialectics, I had mentioned that Lowenstein had worked in Africa, Spain, and Portugal. I spent a fair amount of that time in dialectic part one on Africa, but Spain is also very important. And Lowenstein had worked for the CIA, and back during those years, Lowenstein had, prior to teaching, had gotten his degree from, he was from New York, but he got his bachelor's degree from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, where I would teach later. And I was attending graduate school there later. One of my professors, for example, was a CIA covert agent. He was very open about that. He said he'd retired, but I remember one time in January asking him where he had been in the winter, and he said, oh, I was mountain climbing in Finland, and, you know, nobody mountain climbs in Finland in the winter. So my guess is once a CIA agent, always a CIA agent. And another one, Shepard Jones, was another of my professors, had been in charge of the State Department's Middle East desk. He was a Rhodes Scholar back in the 30s. So these people were around and very active. The ultimate goal of the Cecil Rhodes in this paralegal, as I've said before, is to dialectically synthesize Western capitalism and Eastern communism into a world socialist government. And Lowenstein, when he was a student in the late 40s at UNC, he was a member of something called the Dialectic Senate. And it was at this time that the CIA was actually forming what was called the National Student Association, the NSA, of which Lowenstein became president in 1950. Shortly thereafter, and I've mentioned this before, Ruan Gaither, president of the Ford Foundation, would say how they were under directives from the White House to so alter life in the U.S. as to make possible a, quote, comfortable merger with the Soviet Union. And Lowenstein would after this point, 53, work for the Ford Foundation as well as the CIA and others. He was very active, world traveler type, even as a young fellow. And he was in contact with a lot of Rhodes scholars, one of whom was Rick Stearns, who was Bill Clinton's traveling companion when Clinton and Stearns were at Oxford. And Stearns was also international vice president of this NSA in the mid-60s when they were becoming even more active with the CIA. In the previous part of the series, part one, I had emphasized, as I said, the importance of South Africa, but we'll look at Spain today. Lowenstein and Spain, Lowenstein and the CIA, as part of this dialectic, would present themselves as anti-communist, who also would oppose the right-wing leadership in countries like South Africa and Spain, where Francisco Franco was basically the dictator there in Spain. And so you see the dialectic here at work. Lowenstein and the CIA would support the socialist as the alternative to both the far-left communists and the far-right political extremes.
We'll be right back here in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cutty.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it. Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245. It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and Dr. Cuddy is talking about this Alfred Lowenstein, and a lot of this is covered in a book called The Pied Piper, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, by Richard Cummings.
Right, I just bought the book, I haven't had a chance to look at it, but you pick up the story. You were talking about how they use this dialectic process, and on one hand they would pretend to be, in favor of the right, and then in favor of the left, but their real purpose was the middle, actually pushing socialism, which of course is a means of centralizing power in government, but it's sort of a benevolent type of feudalism that they're really pushing. But go ahead and pick up the story.
Sure. Since you mentioned Cummings with the Pied Piper, if any of your listeners look at that, they'll see a lot of names that don't really mean too much to them. One will be John Sanders, who became head of the UNC student body back in the late 40s, and later on he would be head of what was called the Institute of Government, and they selected me as an intern to write this book back in the late 60s as a young fellow on the Department of Education here. And I could tell at the time, that something was going on. I hadn't really clued into this until right at about that point. But just something, I'd been to the governor, I won't belabor this, but I'd been to the first governor's school in the nation. They were asking a lot of strange questions. And make a long story short, a lot of these names that will be unfamiliar to people reading these books really are very, very important players. They're behind the scenes individuals that play a strategic role all over the place. So the socialism, like we talked about before, Lincoln Bloomfield would say in the early 60s, writing that report for Dean Rusk, that if the communist dynamic were greatly abated, the West would lose whatever incentive it has for world government. Obviously, you have communist threat, far left. We have a Western capitalist nation. The world government that he's talking about would be the synthesis socialism in the middle. And so, that's the way it works. So Lowenstein and the first name is Allard, A-L-L-A-R-D. And the CI would support the socialist, as they would say, in Africa, Spain, so on, as the alternative to the far left, the communist, and the far right, Francisco Franco, dictator of Spain, that type of person. And so Lowenstein had, for years, networked with U.S. Socialist Party presidential candidate Norman Thomas. And it's worth remembering that at the time Lowenstein was at UNC in the late 40s, it was one of the last years that Norman Thomas ran for the presidency in 48. And at that time in 48, Thomas said, quote, "The American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened," end quote. And that's the tactic. That's the strategy.
And that's exactly what's happened. We have far more socialism in the United States today than they ever had in either Russia or China.
Earl Browder and a number of the other heads of the communist parties have said as much. They've said, this is surprising. They were making great strides under Eisenhower, even, they said. And then, you know, of course, the new Great Society with Lyndon Johnson and so on. Yeah, well, Lowenstein, in the late 50s, began starting making these trips to Spain. Now, remember, he's still a young fellow. He's just out of college in around 1950, 49. And so he's only about 30 some years old, roughly 30 years old. And for two decades, he would make trips from around 1958 to 78-ish to Spain. Lots of trips, not just, you know, once in every 4 or 5 years, but lots of trips. He's a very energetic fellow. He's an amazing physically. He was extremely strong, and he was very intellectual, but he'd wolf down a lot of, you know, fast foods, and so very energetic. Well, anyway, as you mentioned, Cummings in this book, The Pied Piper, said that, quote, Lowenstein knew every Spanish opposition, that's opposition to Franco, group and its leadership inside and out. Now, that'll become important, end quote. In the early 60s, Lowenstein met the Spanish Socialist Party. He met with them. That's the PSOE. It's Partido Socialista Obrero Español, is what the letters stand for. And in 64, shortly thereafter, a young person named Javier Solana, while in college, Javier was just in college there in Spain, joined the PSOE. Now, I'm going to digress just a minute, because your listeners, if they're regular listeners, probably heard Constance Cumby just a few weeks ago on your show talking about Javier Solana. As you say, it's her favorite person to keep tabs on. And it's important, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but since you, Dr. Stan, often mention the spiritual aspect to all these things, Constance was talking about the Madariaga family of which Javier Solana came, and how they were involved. She briefly mentioned with Olga Freebie Captain over in Europe at the time, and I'll just give a short comment here from my book, Now is the Dawning of the New Age, New World Order, where I say that I refer to T.S. Eliot's How the World Would End, and it would not with a bang, you know, like a nuclear holocaust, but a whimper. And I say this, this is from my book, this could be considered foreshadowing that the world would not end with a nuclear holocaust, but rather with enslavement by a socialist New Age, New World Order. Eliot, T.S. Eliot, Joseph Campbell, D.T. Suzuki, Lenin, Trotsky, Bakunin, Hermann Hesse, so you got your communist and your right-wing Nazi types, Rudolf Steiner, Isadora Duncan, and others would go to the occultic center of Olga Freibich Kapten at Ascona, Switzerland. It was financed largely by Pittsburgh philanthropists Paul and Mary Mellon, who were devotees of Carl Jung. We've mentioned him before. Alison Foster Bailey helped with sessions there beginning in 1931. The Bollingen Foundation would grow out of this effort. And so there is this spiritual dynamic to all of these things, including Solana's background as well as his politics. I'm proceeding here, though, basically with his political activities. Okay, so after 64, Solana is in college. He joins the PSOE. And the next year, he receives a Fulbright scholarship to begin doctoral program in the U.S. For a number of years. Fulbright scholarships were named for Rhodes Scholar Bill Clinton's political mentor, U.S. Senator from Arkansas, J. William Fulbright. And in mid-64, Lowenstein was invited by, along with the President and Mrs. Lyndon Johnson and some other high-level people, to be dinner guests at the home of Senator Fulbright. So, I mean, you know, Fulbright has to carry a lot of weight when the president and his wife trot themselves, you know, over there. I mean, not to the White House, but they go to Fulbright and his home and be dinner guests, and, you know, who's also there but Lowenstein, who most of you listeners probably never heard of. But here's this fellow showing up there with the president and his wife for dinner. And that same year, 64, is when Fulbright had authored his book, Old Myths and New Realities, announcing that, quote, the concept of national sovereignty has become in our time a principle of international anarchy. The sovereign nation can no longer serve as the ultimate unit of personal loyalty and responsibility, end quote. Remember, the Rhodes Scholars, like Fulbright, are part of this plan that Cecil Rhodes had, and the fellow I mentioned at the first of the program, I was in correspondence with Arnold Toynbee, was saying that was their secret plan to get rid of national sovereignty. So they would lie with their lips about what they were doing if somebody caught on or asked about them, but that's what they were up to. And an example of how at this time in the 60s the dialectic works. On the one hand, you had a Rhodes Scholar, Senator Fulbright. He was a dove on the Vietnam War. I remember on TV watching the hearings, he always used to have those dark glasses on. People would wonder, you know, what are you wearing these dark glasses on indoors? But he was always up there looking, you know, very serious through these dark glasses, criticizing the Vietnam War. While on the other hand, the person he was criticizing largely was Secretary of Dean State, another Rhodes Scholar who was the hawk on the war. There's your dialectic.
Dean Rusk.
Secretary of State Dean Rusk, right.
Right.
And so Cecil Rhodes' plan for world government, the dialectic, moving us that way, just as I mentioned, Lincoln Bloomfield for Dean Rusk had prepared that document, State Department document 7277, about this communist dynamic and the goal of world government. That's always been the goal. And so on March 1994, late in Dean Rusk's life, I remember a World Affairs Council chapter awarded Dean Rusk its, quote, World Citizen Award. They, you know, considered him a world citizen. Well, anyway, back to Solana. In the 60s, he's in 65, going for his PhD. He's going to get it in 68. From the University of Virginia, right near where I am, one state above, and he's been there 3 years working on this. And he sticks around for several years teaching as an assistant professor there at Charlottesville until 1971. But then it's time for him to return to Madrid and teach and become active again in Spanish politics in the early 70s. And so I was just curious about this. Of course, Cummings' book was in 84. It came out, The Pied Piper, and that would be after Solana had started his rise, but I didn't see Solana in the index to Cummings' book, so I called him up, and he's a nice fellow, and Richard Cummings told me that, yes, Lowenstein and Solana probably did know each other. Remember that quote he had that Lowenstein knew everybody, the leadership inside and out of this Spanish Socialist Party. So, yes, they probably did know each other. And remember what I mentioned about the CIA and its activities with this National Student Association that Lowenstein had been president of. Okay, now it's at this time in the early 70s that Richard Gardner, another Rhodes Scholar, in April 74, the Council on Foreign Relations Journal Foreign Affairs wrote, that, quote, an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault, end quote. See, it's the same thing. Toynbee says this. You just had another quote by Senator Fulbright saying this, you know, national sovereignty's got to go. Here you have Gardner saying the same thing. And Gardner went on in that article to explain how GATT would be part of this process. And most people just, you know, mentioned that, eroding it piece by piece. But that explanation of GATT is really important because economics is driving this thing. Remember, if it's a synthesis of Western capitalism and Eastern communism, you're talking about two economic systems. And so socialism is governmental, but it's also an economic system as well. And so GATT and world trade would be really critical in pulling this thing off. Okay, so now the next year, 75, Franco in Spain, the dictator, he dies. And in 77, shortly thereafter, Solana is elected to the Spanish Parliament. Franco had not liked this socialist party, the PSOE, and so he kept it pretty much oppressed, but now it's, you know, coming up to the fore. And Solana was elected, and he personally opposed U.S. military bases being in Spain. However, in 1982, just before the PSOE as a party came to power, they were active, but they were not in control. Spain joined NATO. Solana, at this time, in 82, when they joined NATO, just before the PSOA came to power, Solana opposed that decision. He had acted very actively against our bases there. However, later that same year, 82, after the PSOE at the end of that year comes to power, Solana is appointed Minister for Culture and reverses his position. Now, just think about that. There's a flip-flop here. According to Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, in 1986, Solana was pivotal in organizing a referendum to endorse Spain's membership in NATO. All right, at this point, as I say in this article, it's worth remembering that under the dialectic, the CIA befriended the socialists in Spain to control them or at least make them less radical. That's Solana.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Michael at KHNC Radio, and I'd like to stop for a moment and talk about Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. You know, those little things around the house, the yard, even the car, they can pile up and we can all fall behind. That's where Andy's comes in. They can help you with remodeling, plumbing, decks, floor tile, auto and home upholstery, woodworking, drywall, and painting, and so much more. Andy's done a lot of work for us here at the radio station and at home, so we can highly recommend them. That's Andy's Painting and Handyman Services at 815 37th Avenue Court in Greeley. You can call them at 970-576-5333. That's 970-576-5333. Andy's Painting and Handyman Services in Greeley. Tell them KHNC sent you. And thanks.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval. With a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Acrobats of China. With all these amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out of this universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers. Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who is talking, about the dialectics and how we always have to have two sides, a right, a left, a conservative, a liberal, a Democrat, a Republican, and of course, when we talk about international relationships, we have to have an enemy. It's going to be communism. It's going to be terrorism. You have to have an enemy to rally the people behind the government. And then, of course, you come up with the moderate position between communism and capitalism, which would be this feudalistic system we're moving towards. Pick up the story there, Dr. Cuddy.
Just before the break, you'll recall I mentioned in 1982, in a single year, at first Solana, as opposed to NATO membership for Spain. However, once they come to power, all of a sudden he does this flip-flop for strangely, and now he supports it, and 4 years later, in 86, he's actually organizing a referendum to endorse Spain's membership. Now, let me explain for your listeners, in case they have been followers of your show for some time. Here we have Solana, who knows Lowenstein, who's working for the CIA, and he's doing this flip-flop. And remember that the dialectic, the CIA befriends and funds the socialists in Spain to control them or at least make them less radical. And it comes in there saying, well, we oppose the far-left communists, we oppose the far-right dictator Franco, we're funding and befriending the socialists. Now, think about that. Does that ring any bells? Who else do we know that the CIA brought to power? This ragtag sort of person, Osama bin Laden, in Afghanistan, you'll recall, against the Soviets. The CIA and Saddam as part of a six-man hit team in the late 50s in Iraq. The CIA and the Shah of Iran, and later allowing, quote-unquote, Khomeini to come to power. 53, when Mossadegh was overthrown, there's the CIA again. Are you starting to get the picture here? The CIA sometimes presents itself as a bumbling, you know, oh golly, we didn't know about the terrorists and shucks, you know, we missed this and missed that. And wow, you know, did the Indians really have a nuclear device they were going to test? Wow, I'll be. They caught us totally off guard. We had no idea. Often these things are presented as just, you know, bumbling incompetence, but these guys are bringing to power and getting out of power people for many, many years, and they didn't all of a sudden just become stupid here recently. So anyway, picking up from that, Solana in 1988 was appointed Minister of Education and Science, a critical position there, and then just 4 years later he would become Minister of Foreign Affairs. Because there were greater plans for him.
Now, this is, of course, in Spain.
In Spain, yes. And that's the same year, 92, that Bill Clinton ran for the presidency, and his advisor on UN matters was his fellow Rhodes Scholar, Richard Gardner. You know, now, think about that. You've got lots of Rhodes Scholars, but here's Richard Gardner, the same one I quoted from 74, as Clinton's advisor on world affairs, UN matters. And after Clinton's election, he appointed his Rhodes Scholar roommate, Strobe Talbott, to the State Department, and he eventually became number two there. And we've mentioned before Talbott's talking similarly to a Gardner and Fulbright and others in this Time magazine article of July 20, 1992, where he says, quote, perhaps national sovereignty was not such a great idea after all, but it's taken the events in our own wondrous and terrible century to clinch the case for world government, end quote. So you see this constant theme running through this. The number one fellow at the State Department, of course, was a CFR member, Warren Christopher, and I remember seeing him. It was his January 13th, 1993 confirmation hearings. He was there. Among others, he was talking with Senator Joseph Biden, who was asking him questions, and they were talking about the possibility, just, you know, matter of fact, I mean, nobody thought anything strange about this, they were talking about the possibility of NATO becoming a peacekeeping surrogate for the UN, quote, to foster the creation of a new world order, end quote, is the way Biden put this. And so thus the people in charge of NATO politically and militarily would become of critical importance if they're going to be the peacekeeping surrogate for the UN. People had some, you know, doubts about the UN, but NATO, sure, you know, the U.S. is prominent, it's a great outfit, and so on. Okay, so NATO's going to become important, and so it was no surprise to me, therefore, that President Clinton appointed fellow Rhodes Scholar General Wesley Clark to be the military head of NATO, and so the only other person would be the political head, and golly shucks, guess who? After Javier Solana became political head of NATO, and that was on December 5 of 1995, Encyclopedia Britannica stated, quote, he was somewhat unexpectedly chosen, quote, to put it mildly. I mean, you know, who's Solana? You know, he's some minister in Spain of education or foreign affairs. How come this guy gets bumped up? Well, the key lies in President Clinton's appointment of Gardner as U.S. ambassador to Spain. Afghanistan, not Russia, not England, not Canada, but Spain, of all places. You know, wow, well, wonder why that was. Okay, so what you have is Gardner's ambassador to Spain. And so Gardner, along with his Rhodes Scholar buddies, Clinton and Talbot, basically had the signal here to put this, quote, cooperative, quote, that's my term, Solana, as political head of NATO. And I use that word cooperative because while Solana only approved of Spain's membership in NATO in the 80s, provided, there was a proviso, that Spain's armed forces did not participate in military operations at the time, in the late 1990s, when he's Secretary General of NATO, he had no problem in sending 60,000 troops from 30 countries into Bosnia and Herzegovina, just as Clinton, Talbot, and Gardner desired. See? Okay, Solana would go on to become later, June 29 of 2004, the European Union's first Minister for Foreign Affairs, and his current position is, he's got two or three, but the main one is Secretary General of the Council of the European Union. And so this guy now, from out of nowhere, he's one of the most powerful men in the world, and he was strategically placed, as I've outlined, by this dialectic process to facilitate this New World Order and Cecil Rhodes' plan to take the government of the whole world.
You know, the most amazing thing is, Dr. Cuddy, nobody ever asks, why is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization military still intact? I mean, it was formed as a bulwark against communism, and now communism is gone, we're told. So now they're using NATO troops in Afghanistan. What does the North Atlantic Treaty Organization have to do with Afghanistan? Absolutely nothing, unless you understand NATO is now the world army. That's what it's all about. But they just haven't told the folks. We're not supposed to understand everything is about world government. They have a parliament. They have an executive. They have a police force. They have an army. They have their courts. Everything is in place. But, of course, we won't let the people know until the trap is shut and everyone is under the control of this ruling elite.
Stay tuned. This same outfit, which has no real business in the Middle East, will soon be, quote, asked to participate in this international force in Lebanon, too. Wait and see.
We'll be back in just a moment here in with Dr. Dennis Kennedy.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support, doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
When you look at the sky, it seems relatively empty. Yet somewhere beyond that vast sea of blue lies Wild Blue, affordable high-speed internet via satellite. For as little as $49.95 a month with free installation, Wild Blue brings you the world and your connection to it. Imagine surfing the web with lightning-fast speeds up to 30 times quicker than dial-up. Suddenly, you can send large emails in a flash. You can even download music or watch videos online. Plus, WildBlue comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Finally, just about everyone under the sun has access to affordable high-speed internet. And like the clear blue sky, that's a beautiful thing. WildBlue, high-speed internet out of the blue.
Make the move to WildBlue Country. Call Call 1-866-WILD-BLUE today and get free installation. That's 1-866-WILD-BLUE or see your local dealer. Must have Southern line of sight. Speeds may vary. Price of first to value back. Promotional plan details subject to change at any time. See wildblue.com for full details.
Well, Dr. Stan back here with the final segment of our program with Dr. Cuddy. Please pick up this story of the dialectics, how they're manipulating everything, you know, as we move from freedom to fascism towards this world government that the elite dream of. And, of course, behind that, the powerful spiritual forces which energize these people, intent upon not only a new world order, but a new world religion.
Right. And I mentioned about Solana's family, the Madariagas, at the first of this talk, picking up on his usefulness here as part of this larger process, the Rhodes Scholars and so on, for this world government. As I mentioned before, the idea is that, according to Cecil Rhodes' plan, you would link these regional economic arrangements up to form this world socialist government. And so, if your listeners watch, they'll see this thing being brought together. For example, there was news, I think recently, July 9th, what you had was American trade representatives over in Seoul, South Korea, to discuss a, quote, free trade agreement. And when they were over there, they literally had to have bodyguards with them, because there are many, many protesters. You know, they're not as stupid as Americans are. They see the handwriting on the wall, and the idea is that you'd have Korea, both South and North, would become part of this larger Asian Pacific regional economic arrangement. Then you can, of course, link that to NAFTA and the European Union and Africa and so on. And so, to persuade these people, you have to have this dialectic, and it uses chaos or crises. You might have uncontrolled borders or violent confrontations, and that would cause people to be willing to accept this larger package, as they call it, these transnational agreements. Notice they'll call them agreements, not treaties, because treaties would have to be ratified by this pesky U.S. Senate. You know, we don't want them involved when we can just sign an executive order or something. So what you'll find is the South Koreans will be, quote, persuaded, quote, that part of their security against these aggressive gestures that we've had coincidentally from North Korea, missile launches and so on, their security will depend to a large extent on their willingness to voluntarily accept a free trade agreement. And then once that happens, of course, we'll generously offer that to the North Koreans as well, you know, as part of their package deal to cease and desist, as it were. In the Middle East, same thing. There's chaos between the Israelis and Palestinians and now Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and the idea is that you're going to wary them down, you know, push them down. NATO probably, as I mentioned before the break, will be asked to volunteer to come in as part of the international force, as that southern buffer between Israel and the northern part of Lebanon. But, you know, it can't just be forced. You have to have this carrot out there, and so the carrot will be this Middle East Free Trade Area, the MEFTA, which then can be linked to other regions. And we already know that President Bush has indicated he wants all nations in the Middle East to be under one regional economic authority by 2013, you know, just 7 years from now. There's even a lobbying group called the U.S. MEFTA Coalition that involves Exxon, Mobil, Bechtel, Halliburton, you know, what a surprise, promoting this economic arrangement between the two regions. And since time's getting by here, I'll say how Solana and Spain fit in all of this. Javier Solana arranged a treaty of association, as it was called, including security and trade between the European Union and Israel. It was signed back on November 20 of 1995 and officially ratified June 1 of 2000. And according to an article in the Jerusalem Post by Herb Kynan, June 6th, on the day before, June 5, Solana met in Israel with officials there, telling them he, quote, remained firm on the need for the Hamas-Palestinian Authority government to meet these criteria before gaining international legitimacy, recognizing Israel. That's first point. Secondly, renouncing terrorism. Thirdly, accepting previous agreements. There's that agreement again. And so he's setting himself up as the good guy with the Israelis. You know, you can trust me, bring me in, I'll be nice, you know, I'll be part of this international force here. And domestically, relevant to Spain, not just Solana, there's a plan to build a massive, what's going to be called Trans-America Highway. It's the first, the Trans-Texas Corridor, but then the Trans-America Highway that will split the U.S. in half. It'll run from Mexico up to Canada, and it will facilitate what's to be called the North American region, and it'll have its own currency, the Amero. And the first stage, as I said, is this Trans-Texas Corridor, and it'll be built by this outfit called Zachry, Z-A-C-H-R-Y, Construction Company of Texas, San Antonio, but it will be managed by Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A, which is, lo and behold, surprise, surprise, a Madrid, Spain company, which already manages toll roads around the world, not just here in the U.S. They have some here, but all around the world. And so I conclude this article by basically asking, is it possible that Javier Solana of Madrid, Spain, had a hand in all of this, since he's their fellow who's supposed to be managing this stuff in terms of NATO and the international community?
Well, Javier Solana is one of the most powerful men in the world today, and the average American has never heard of him. Now he's in charge of the European Union governmental structure. Certainly as far as they have their own military, independent from NATO. So, I mean, Javi Solana, key player, gentleman who has recently, carried the peace offer from the European Union, United States, to Iran. First time we've seen his name mentioned, publicity. But I'll never forget when I heard Bill Clinton, when Clinton was president, and we were going to talk about beginning to bomb Kosovo. And what did Bill Clinton say? I mean, I've ordered this. No. He said, I agree with the decision of Javier Solana to bomb Kosovo. My goodness, the President of the United States is subservient to the decision of some obscure Spanish, administrator that nobody ever heard of. I remember those words so well. I agree with Javier Solana.
Yeah, and just before that, October 19th of 93, he said, we're trying to see how we can do all the UN ordered to do regarding Somalia, too. So Bill Clinton's just a flunky, just like George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush. What you find out, all of these guys are pawns of the power elite. Of course, the Bushes were members of Skull and Bones. All of them. And an interesting example of the dialectic using left and right, liberal and conservative. If your listeners go to the White House website, you'll see there's a picture. You can click on the Oval Office, and there's a carpet with a great seal of the U.S., just like on dollar bill, the eagle's looking left. But if you look at the president's desk, the eagle's looking right. Is this dialectical symbolism?
Thanks so much, Dennis. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support, doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Well, I'm back here at the American Freedom Network, and I always enjoy Dr. Cuddy. I hope you do as well. If you haven't read his books, which we carry, The Road to Socialism, his book on the New World Order, Timeline for the New World Order as far as education, cover-up, and his book on mental health testing, we do carry these, and we hope in the not-too-distant future we're going to be able to get his secret records revealed back in print. In fact, we should have all of his books in print because you need to have them in your library. But right now, we do have those that I've mentioned, a wonderful source of information. Now, you need to understand what is really going on in the world today. We carry a book called The Devil's Game. It goes into the background of who financed and created the Islamic terrorist movement. It goes all the way back to 1870s, but at the same time, Cecil Rhodes was beginning to consider putting together a secret society to take control of the world. So it was at that time that British intelligence was beginning to fund this whole Islamic terrorist movement. And it has continued to be funded right up to the present time. Eventually, of course, the American CIA took control. Why? Because you needed an alternative enemy. Communism has sort of run its course. Now the communists are going to become the good guys, but we have to have an enemy to rally the American people. And so, I mean, you see the formation of the whole Islamic terrorist movement with bringing the Ayatollah Khomeini to power in 1979, and then the Afghan War, and America's funding the Mujahideen, and then funding Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And remember, we were the largest source of funding for the Taliban right up until September 11th. And if you doubt that, you go to the White House website, whitehouse.gov, and pull down President Bush's September 20th, 2001 speech. September 20th, 2001, 9 days after 9/11. And in that speech he tells you, America was the largest source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan. That was the Taliban. We were financing the Taliban who were giving a refuge to the wicked Osama bin Laden. Nothing as it appears to be. And once you understand that, everything begins to make sense. I mean, why does President Bush oppose the ceasefire between Lebanon and Israel today? You would think the logical thing would be to have a ceasefire, to send in a large force to disarm Hezbollah, but we don't seem to be too interested in a ceasefire. What's the real agenda? Well, that's for another day. Let me suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Let me suggest you go to our website and you notice all the things we have there on health, the various books we have. We'll give you some idea of some of the real problems facing the world. If you have not yet seen my 3-pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy, you need to get it. You need to read it through. You need to understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on. Our 3-pamphlet set on Foreknowledge 911 will tell you what nobody else does about why no one was ever punished after 9/11. No government official was ever demoted or let go for the greatest intelligence failure of all time, or perhaps it was the greatest intelligence success of all time. Anyway, Foreknowledge 9/11, everything is documented. You can check it out. If you want any of the documents, we have them all on file. They're the most amazing story never told. And then, of course, we hope that you'll call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter. Otherwise, please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be